I'm Bob Stone, and I was coordinator for the Friends of Gramenon Trails for 20 years.
And I'm Judy Stone, and I was heavily involved with the trails.
Welcome to Explore Everywhere podcast, where we explore the world through hiking trails, go and see some amazing places, and meet the people who love and protect them. This episode is brought to you by Heritage Trails and Footpaths of Gramenon, New Brunswick, Canada book. This book is a go-to book. It's a little pocket book. It's basically a half of an 8.5 by 11 sheet size. It's a great little booklet that explains history of the island of Gramenon. Of course, the trails, it explains all the geology, which is fascinating for Gramenon. If you don't know, Gramenon is split into basically a lava origin on one side, which is the rocky cliffs on the west side, and the east side's more sandy, low-lying areas, which is more sedimentary history. And because of that split, it creates some very, very interesting geology. And the views from the trails are absolutely amazing around the edge of the island. The island's basically one big hike and trail around the edge, and then ones that cut across the middle of the island. So if you're going to Gramenon, plan on going for a hike, I think you probably should pick up the Heritage Trails and Footpaths of Gramenon book. You can either order it at exploreeverywheremedia.com or from any of the store links on the Hiking MB website. You can also pick it up at any of the small stores on Gramenon Island. This episode is brought to you by A for Adventure Book, which is a great book for kids. If you like adventure or like outdoors and you want your kids to get interested in the same thing, you'd love this book. I kind of regret that I don't have any toddlers in my life to read this book to, but I read through it. I flip through it myself quite often. And what it is it goes through the letters of the alphabet. A is for adventure, and it has a little poem about it and some nice drawings of people showing on adventures. My favorite, H is for hiking. H is for hiking way out on the path. You can hike your hike slowly or hike your hike fast. When you go hiking, you'll all bring a pack. For all the fun things, you'll find out on the track. You can hike in the fog or hike right through the rain. You can hike up a valley or hike on the plains. Pictures of people out on a hike with the hills in the background. It's a really well done book. Kids will love it. And grown-ups will love it too. Like I say, I flip through it and read it quite often. So if you're interested in that, you can pick it up at the exploreeverywheremedia.com web store. Also, you can get to that through the Hiking MB website. Just go to any of the store links and it'll take you right there. And like I say, if you have kids in your life or if you're a kid at heart, pick up this book and give it a read. Welcome to episode 18 of the Explore Everywhere podcast. This week's episode is a second part of a three-part series on our visit to Gramenon. We went for a week, end of July, 1st of August, and we did a lot of exploring of the trails. First episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, is last week's episode was the interview with Eric Obenel. He's the current coordinator for the Trails Association for Gramenon. This week we talked to Bob and Judy Stone. Bob's the past coordinator of the Trails of Gramenon Association, and he was the coordinator for 20 years. And he talks a bit about his history, what brought him to the island in the first place, and you can hear in his voice the deep love they have for the trails on the island and the island itself. It's an amazing place to explore. I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did, and I hope you get some inspiration or information about trails on Gramenon for your next visit. Also, I apologize for the muffled sound that you might notice in the podcast. To keep with social distancing, we were wearing masks during the interview, and you can hear a bit of a muffled sound on our voices.
I'm Bob Stone, and I was coordinator for the Friends of Gramenon Trails for 20 years, and I've now retired from that.
But still interested.
Oh, yes, I'm still a trail adopter.
Yeah.
And I'm Judy Stone, and I was heavily involved with the trails, but my name's not on very much.
But still interested.
Well, yeah.
Have you come across Eric Hadley?
Eric Hadley? No, I haven't, actually.
I'll tell you, he is for hiking trails in New Brunswick.
Yeah?
He is a fund of information.
Really?
He worked. I'm surprised I haven't run across him.
He doesn't live far from Fredericton.
Okay.
He worked for the natural resources for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I think he was involved actually when the boardwalk was put in.
In Red Point.
On that.
Yeah.
But he's a great trail builder.
Yeah.
I know when they were putting in the trail at Pea Point.
Yeah.
He was involved in that.
Okay. I'm surprised I haven't ran across the name before. Yeah.
Eric Hadley.
Yeah.
He's retired now, but both he and his wife Jane are great hikers. Because the boardwalk used to be so slippery.
Yeah.
I talked to them about that and see what might be a way we could improve it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the shingles all went on at one time, so.
Yeah.
But
or maybe it's just,
3 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago. At any rate, he and Jane were hiking in New Brunswick, and I got an email from him, and the title was "Here's Your Answer," and it was a trail that they'd been on, that had these shingles.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
At any rate, that's where we got the idea.
Yeah.
We didn't do it that way because it. It took
take a lot of shingles.
Way more shingles.
Yeah.
But it's
worked. Oh, it worked great. Well, yeah. It worked really well. Yeah.
And some of them now need to be replaced.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's the maintenance on them? Because they.
Well, so far it hasn't been bad.
Yeah.
Jesse and Ann James, who do the maintenance for us.
Yeah.
And there are another couple you should
meet. Yeah, no, that's good. You keep naming names and all that.
They're down the island.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Not that far. But they've been doing the maintenance now for 20 years.
Yeah.
But they, when we did the work on that work, because the thing is with the anchorage being tended by the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Who are doing a great job with the campground.
Yeah.
But they are not overstaffed.
Yeah.
So they don't really have time to do much of anything.
Trails, usually get left to the
end. We used to do nothing with the trail because it was part of the provincial park. But we said, well, look, we'd like to put the shingles down, and we'll do whatever maintenance is needed.
Yeah.
So I asked Ann and Jesse if they'd be willing to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they said. Jesse comes from the island of Nevis, and he's used to building dry stone walls.
So where's that?
Nevis is down near south of the Bahamas. It's an island in the Caribbean.
Okay, I never heard of that before.
Yeah. Small island. At any rate, we were left $5,000 legacy.
Yeah.
So we had some extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy and I, our immediate thought was shingles on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And we also got some money from the Rotary Club. Normally we don't ask anybody for money, we just get it through donations and that.
Stuff, yeah.
Enough to keep us going. It was also getting pretty wobbly, and so they worked on it, and we had budgeted, you know, maybe $1,000 to do it.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Jesse, he went down to the beach and collected all different size of stones.
Yeah.
Brought them up. And if you're walking the boardwalk, take a look at some of the, you know, where there are cross pieces.
Yeah.
To see what he's used.
Oh, underneath the
rocks.
Yeah.
Which cost us nothing.
Yeah.
They're a fascinating couple.
Yeah. But it's been busier in the island this summer, somewhat?
Staycation is working for the island.
Yeah, everywhere I go, everybody I talk to, I went to Grand Manan, or I'm going to Grand Manan, or somebody at work the other day was like, oh, we're going to Grand Manan in a couple weeks, and...
I think there was a concern on the island about that.
Yeah.
Because if the virus ever got here, it could just go right through.
Yeah.
When did you go up to Western Head?
I just came back from
this
there.
This morning?
Yeah, I just came from there. Yeah. No, beautiful spot.
With Eric and
when did a quick interview up there?
Francis?
No, just Eric. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Got hold of Eric.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good. A beautiful spot. I've seen the pictures before of it, but
And now there's a fall in the water.
Yeah, the bridge is really nice. Well, the water's pretty low. It wouldn't be hard to get across the water now.
Yeah.
But he says it's a lot more water there usually. So I was telling him I want to go up to Eelbrook Falls and get another better picture of there because it's been a while since I've been there.
Another bridge.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't there last time we were there.
No. So. Last summer, put in late last summer.
Oh, God. Both of them. There then. Yeah, no, it'd be probably 6 years since we've been there.
We have a fellow, a native of the island, who has been helping us on the trails for years.
Yeah.
And you suggest something to him.
Yeah.
And it's done.
Yeah.
And we suggested bridges there. Boom. Next thing we knew, there were bridges. And we have a couple of other fellows. Also that Anna just had to do the spring maintenance and cut the trees down, whatever, yeah, across the trail.
Yeah.
But once the trail adopters get into it,
yeah,
then people like us do it. And if a tree falls down, we can't deal with that.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of people we can phone and say,
yeah,
there's a tree down
saying,
such and such a place, could you go out? And there's one fellow. He's almost out the door before you get off the phone.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of accesses too that...
Yes.
I mean, but there's probably some pretty remote places, I guess, on some of the sections.
Yeah.
Like on the western side, but, yeah. Seems like everybody from up north this year, because they have to stay in the province, is coming down to Grand Manan, and everybody from the south is going to Miscou Island, because they've just never been that far before, so.
I've always wanted to go to Miscou Island.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice up there. It's all one big, just big giant beach is what it is.
Yeah.
No, really nice.
But they used to have a music festival up there.
Like the Acadian Festival or no?
No, it was a Baroque.
It was a classical,
yeah,
music festival.
Never heard of it.
Which, we always thought it would be a great idea to go, but
yeah,
we've always got company in the summer.
Yeah.
And won't be happening.
Well, not this summer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a nice area. I'm not too bad. My parents still live in Miramichi, so it's an hour and a half from there, so...
Yeah.
I'd like to drive up around there this summer. The peat bogs in the fall is really cool. The whole thing just lights up in bright red, so...
Really?
It's really cool, yeah.
We've had quite a number of hikers from the mainland come over. And last weekend, according to Facebook, we had six fellas who ran it.
Oh, yes, I did see that, yeah. I mean, Eric, we're talking about that.
Took 6 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
I have a friend of mine that does trail running, and it's crazy.
I can't imagine running those trails without going flat on my face.
Oh, I know.
Judy started up a group a few years ago called the Monday Morning Hikers.
Yeah.
It was a summer that we had a lot of small grandchildren around, and she figured if she didn't pick a time,
yeah,
and she said, I'm not going to be here,
yeah,
and she'd never get away. And the first time out, we had one person join us.
Yeah.
But over the years, we have 20 or 25 or a dozen you never knew week to week. But it was interesting because we had a mix of summer people and local people, many of whom had not been seen the parts of the island, for instance, the back of the island, Hay Point.
Yeah.
There were quite a number of the local people
I still haven't been there.
Who had never been
even after you told me, what, 5 years ago probably now, you told me about going down there. I think you recommended it last time I was talking to you.
Yeah.
I haven't been down there yet. That's my number one priority this time.
Oh, you still haven't?
No, I still haven't.
Oh, you have to.
And there's a rope now. One of the guys who builds the bridges.
Yeah.
Who had never been there. He and his wife went with us on the Monday morning. They had never, he had seen it from the water.
Yeah.
They'd never been there.
Yeah.
And so the next time we went, I'm the slow one down the hill.
Yeah.
And I said, isn't this great? Somebody's put a rope, a really safe rope, and we never put them on the trails because then you're responsible.
Yeah.
But this one was solid.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that he was ahead of me.
Just
attaching the rope. I was the first person down the rope. And when I got to the bottom, I said, I'd really like to thank the person who did it. And I still didn't know that it was snow. And he was sort of grinning. And I think I found out the next day or something, or maybe you told me later, but I just thought, how great. Somebody's taken it upon themselves and do a really good job.
Yeah.
The trails didn't authorize it, so it's not our problem.
Yeah.
And I think the people who went first said, what rope? We didn't see any rope.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, Hay Point's number one. I think our big one, I want to go over to, I almost want to go to Ross Island now after talking to Eric, but over to Whitehead Island.
Yeah.
Was kind of the big one with the kids.
Yeah, and go to the beach.
The other thing that Eric told me is, I was talking about coming, just doing the small loop up to Bradford Cove. Is that the first, or Deep Cove, I guess, back out Deep Cove when I do Hay Point with the kids. But he said about the buoy house.
beyond that. He said that that's probably worth keeping on going. So I'll probably go up further on that.
Yeah, everybody gets excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. So the big one is the islands, whether Ross or Whitehead. Then Hay Point. I like go back out to Dark Harbors just to walk out on the bar itself. It'd be nice. Take the kids out there. And the third one, I guess, is I'd like to go up around the coast by Hole in the Wall.
Yeah.
We've been out the Hole in the Wall, but we've never gone around the coast there.
Yeah, that's a challenging trail.
Yeah, it's pretty rugged, I guess, from what Eric was saying. So.
Yeah, how old are your kids?
They're 14 to 17. Oh, so no, they're disappointed that they can't get back to Katahdin this year. So they're they're good for strenuous.
And yeah, they won't have any trouble.
Yeah.
When you were going to go to Ross Island, what did Eric suggest?
He was saying Ocean View Road or something. The road more to the east.
Shore Road.
To come in.
Shore Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of going the.
It follows basically the north side of the. It's the lighthouse. If you went the opposite side,
you
would come to the lighthouse, which is no longer there.
Yeah, I remember that. 5 years ago, probably, was it?
And actually, there's an interesting historical spot there because the tombstone of one of the early settlers is over there.
Okay.
You need to know where it is in order to find it. But the north side, our grandkids in particular, just love that north side.
Yeah.
For one thing, there is you don't have to walk through the water to get, even when the water's low, to get there, because there's a culvert.
Okay. Okay.
Really, a bridge to take you across.
Is it flooded?
You just have to make sure, though,
tide,
you know,
though?
You are. You can be about 2.5 hours ahead of the tide.
That's about 2,
which gives you lots of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've got 3 beaches, and then it comes to a trail, and then to a most beautiful beach.
Yeah.
Which our grandkids used to always call the secret beach.
Oh, okay.
And you'll know when you come to the secret beach because it looks like a campsite. I mean, people have camped there.
Yeah.
But what our grandkids discovered is if you go along the left side and the rocks go right out into the water, but you can get, it's a bit sandy there, you can get out at low tide.
Yeah.
Around the rocks on the left, and there's another beach and it's filled with sand dollars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get down to the bottom of the secret beach, and then around to the left. I haven't been around to the left, actually.
I have.
Eric was saying the rocks were really cool out there, too.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think? Between Ross and Whitehead, which would be...
Oh. You don't have... Whitehead will take you long. You might be able to do... The Ross Island one doesn't take...
Pretty quick, is it?
You can get there. I mean, you can get there in 3/4 of an hour easily.
Yeah.
And take your lunch and hang out.
So on.
Yeah.
But now, how is the tide right now?
It's low at like 1 o'clock or something. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like an hour later every day. So if we do it later in the week, it'll be in like the 3 o'clock range.
Yeah.
But Whitehead is beautiful.
Yeah. 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 I think I might do that because that's the bigger one.
And we're not sure what the trail is like from Gull Cove because. Nobody's maintained it this year.
Yeah.
Francis and Eric went over, but I don't
know. No, he hasn't been. He said sometimes the locals will remove signs or something.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a couple who were dedicated to it, and they kept it in good shape, but they're on the West Coast now.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to suggest gently to one of the guys we play pickleball with who lives on Whitehead.
Yeah.
That maybe they could recruit some locals to keep that trail going.
But yeah.
He hasn't bitten so far.
Yeah.
I suspect you'll find most markers, but as long as if you go to Gull Cove, we're talking about the section from Gull Cove, which you sort of go across the far end and come out very close to the large sand beach.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep the water more or less fairly close to you on your left.
Yeah.
You can't go
you
wrong.
You might lose the trail, but you won't lose the... You won't get lost.
Then you've got to get... You need to have a way to get back to get your car. If you drive to Gull Cove, you've got to...
Yeah.
We would leave a bike at one end.
Well, that's the thing. We've got the 2 cars. I was thinking about walking on, just getting on the ferry.
Yeah,
but
if
we have
easier.
2 cars, we could leave a car at either end, too. It sounds like
but then you got to get off. Then.
Yeah.
I would walk on and just take the road around.
Yeah, and then walk back the road.
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's an interesting...
It's a beautiful beach.
Yeah. And it's an interesting...
Is that Whitehead or is that the Rock?
This is Whitehead.
That's Whitehead again, okay.
It's a large beach, close to the Seal Cove Beach here. Mm-hmm. At low tide, the Seal Cove Beach is...
Oh, this big.
Huge.
Yeah, we've been there before. That was probably our first trip, I think. Probably 10 years ago now with the kids when they were young.
The first time we went to Whitehead, to that particular beach, early 90s, I guess,
mm-hmm.
There was a sign up on the telephone pole saying, no nude bathing.
Which means somebody's tried it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's funny. So how long have you guys been hiking the island?
I lived in Toronto.
Yeah, a little bit different.
We came on a camping trip in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Knew nothing about the island, really.
Yeah.
Friends of ours had been here once, and a colleague of Judy's had been here. But that's... Really, we knew very little. So we decided we'd come for one day, and we had a new dog with us.
Yeah.
New to us, anyway. We knew there was a storm tracking its way across the northern states.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it was going to head this way. So we thought, well, we liked what we saw for the one day. We thought, I wonder if we can... And the storm still hadn't come.
Yeah.
If we can find a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold...
We didn't want to have the dog in the tent because we didn't know what she'd do.
Yeah.
But the storm was helpful to us because there were a number of people who canceled.
Oh, okay.
To get off the island before the storm came. So we ended up staying for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
1991, and fell in love with the island, basically.
Yeah.
We stayed down at the far, most of the time, at the far end, at the Bear's Den, which is
on the way
Southern Head Road. There's a road that goes into Southern Beach,
which
is a shingle beach.
Yeah.
And there are two cabins there, the Big Bear and Little Bear.
Okay.
And we kept going back renting every year.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, 1995. We'd seen this place. It was up for sale by a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually inquired about it. Had we had a chance to look through it at that stage?
No, we just saw it from the road and liked the look of it.
But it was, the price was out of our range. And our friends here who lived here all the time said, oh, they're trying to get... trying to get Ontario money. way too expensive. That probably was back actually in before 95. Because in 95, when we went in the grocery store, there on the bulletin board was our house, saying, house with $1 million view.
Yeah.
And the price had come down about $30,000.
Yeah.
Judy, through contacts, was able to get a key to it.
Yeah.
And we looked through it. I mean, we've done things to it, but it was you could move into it without any trouble.
Yeah.
And we were going to live here. We were just going to use it.
So we thought.
Yeah.
It was going to be, we'd come here in the summer.
Yeah.
So we actually purchased it in 95.
Mm-hmm.
I was retired, just retired, but Judy was still teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But we still were going to have a place in Toronto, have a place here.
Yep.
And I guess the year you retired, we were walking on the beach down here when said, why do we want to live in Toronto? We can always visit Toronto.
Yeah.
All our family's back Ontario way, one in Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, we have no maritime connections at all.
Yeah.
So the draw was the island.
Yeah.
And that's when we decided we'll sell the Toronto house and won't replace it.
Yeah.
And our friends, no one was wishy-washy about it. They either said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Or, what a great idea.
Yeah.
And we've never regretted it.
Yeah.
So we moved down full-time in 98.
Wow.
22 years ago.
22 years ago, Doesn't sound like that long ago, does it?
The two things that really interested us was the tennis. Couldn't imagine this small island with not many people.
Yeah.
That had a history of tennis.
Oh, they do?
And
I didn't know that.
We'd played... I started when I was a youngster, but Judy started after we were married. Played a lot. And the trails. I mean, we love to hike. And so that was our introduction to the trails, actually, back in 91.
Yeah.
And besides the dog, our new dog.
The dog loved it.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have never regretted it.
No. Do you still have family in Toronto then, or in
We have one in Montreal.
Yeah.
One in Kingston, Ontario.
Yeah.
One in Toronto.
So they're spread out anyways. So.
And one in Kitchener, Ontario.
Okay, so they're really spread out then.
Which is about an hour from Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
Kingston's about 2.5 from Toronto.
Yeah.
But we still go back at Christmas to Toronto because that's much easier there for our family to get together.
Yeah, yeah. You just pick a house and kind of get together that way?
Oh,
and you go back? Or
actually rent something.
Most recently, it's been an Airbnb. We always find something that works for us.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, this place is hopping because all the kids are down
Ontario
here.
Ontario comes to Grand Manan.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. So that they're really
what a great place
really
to come. Yeah.
In fact, I don't know whether you've taken the route up through northern Maine and across Cobourne Gore. It takes you into Quebec and then on.
I haven't been up there. I know
it's,
where
it's
know,
about
yeah.
the shortest route.
Yeah.
The crossing is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And our son came, this is years ago, but our son came across one time and said, where are you going? Grand Manan. He said, we've had a lot of people go across here to Grand Manan. And he said, yeah, they're all going to my parents' place.
All
my,
yeah.
You know, when we were talking about the Bears Den, you've done the hike from Southern Headlight back to the Flock of Sheep, haven't
you? Yeah, okay.
You would have gone right by the Bears Den.
You've gone right by the Bears Den.
Okay. If you're down there, okay. Yeah. I know what you mean then. Okay. No, I haven't done anything west. So anything from the Whistle right to Southern Head, I haven't done on the west side, other than this morning at Dark Harbor. So.
Well, that just whets your appetite.
No, I know. The last time we were here, I was actually doing some mapping work for tourism, so I kind of concentrated on Anchorage and that area. But this time, with the kids, it's like big enough hike to keep them interested, but not too big to like exhaust them either, so. I think going down around Hay Point, if we go up to the Bowie House, that'll be a good hike.
That would be
a good one. Yeah. And then up around Hole in the Wall, I think it's a pretty quick one, too.
Yeah,
so.
That's a good one.
And then a rugged one for the kids to
that's good and rugged.
Keep excited. So
I got lost on it the last time. I'm always the sweep with the Monday morning hikers.
Yeah.
And they got so far ahead of me that I got totally lost. So.
And you can on that one, you can do a circle route.
Yeah.
If you start, for instance, just below Swallowtail, that's the most challenging part of it.
Yeah.
And then you get the Hole in the Wall. But you don't have to go back the same way.
Yeah.
Or you can go back through the campground, I guess. But you also can continue on the trail.
Around that point.
And you end up at Whale Cove Beach.
Oh, okay.
It's about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Past Hole in the Wall here.
Yeah.
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 And at Whale Cove Beach, there is a road there. Small road that goes up and it ends up behind the Anglican church.
Yeah, when we hiked from Whale Cove up to Whistle, we went out that road.
Okay.
We walked out the road because I think we were staying at the hotel that's right, it's almost across
the Surfside's just across the road.
Yeah, we stayed there, so we walked up that old road and hit the beach and across Whale Cove and up. So.
Yeah, so what we, if we were going with a group and going to do that, we'd leave a car by the Anglican church and then go up in another car and go at the beginning of the trail.
Yeah, and that's probably what we'll do. We've got the kids.
We've got two cars. So
we've got two cars now with the kids. Yep. So and my daughter can drive now. So
I was going to say, and you probably have the drivers too.
Whale watching on Thursday, so that'll be. I've got to redeem myself for whale watching because 10 years ago, when we first brought the kids and they're really young, we went whale watching. I'm like, oh no, it's a couple hours. Like, we don't really need to bring food. And Vicky just met me, so she didn't know me very well. I'm very overly optimistic usually. So we're out there for like 6.5 hours. One of the kids got sick. It said they had food on the boat, but all it was seafood chowder, and none of the kids would eat seafood chowder. So I think they had 3 bags of chips for sale, and we bought one of them and shared it. So it was. So Thursday's my redemption.
Did you see any whales?
Oh, the whales were amazing. I remember that part more than anything, but I'm reminded of all of that stuff constantly.
Who's taking you out?
It's Sea Watch, the tour.
Yeah, right down here.
Peter. Down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
They're
I've
really
got their
good.
Names. And I guess they've been around for a while, so it might have been them that went last time. I don't know.
If you had the chowder, you probably went on the sailboat.
Yeah, I think it was actually. I think it was a sailboat that we went on.
Yeah, with Sarah McDonough.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Sea Watch that we did, but yeah.
No, Sea Watch is just a lobster boat that is converted, goes out to the puffins and goes out and whale watching. But they're great. They're really
Yeah, no.
They're really good, and they do birds and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, too. Yeah. We saw the porpoises last night on the ferry end.
You're lucky you got onto that, because they were totally booked for a year in advance.
They're open Tuesday, Thursday, maybe COVID.
It is. Well, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have favorite trails around the island, or are they all just favorites?
We have favorite destinations.
Yeah.
Hay Point. I've always said that if this were Greece, that's where they would build their temple.
Yeah.
At Hay Point.
Yeah.
They'd come up with some reason to have the temple there.
Poseidon.
Yeah.
Flock of sheep.
Yeah, flock of sheep.
Yeah, that's what Eric was saying. His favorite trail kind of was that flock of sheep, just because he saw a lot of wildlife and stuff, and along that coast.
And there are more views along that short stretch.
Yeah, it's very open, the whole trail. It's not like, even this morning you hike for quite a while, but you come out to a beautiful looking over Dark Harbor, but you hike for a while in the woods. Yeah. So.
I like the one on the north side of Ross Island. It has been a great place to find errant buoys.
Yeah.
Which end up in our backyard.
Yeah. Are you starting a buoy house here? Are you? Or?
Pardon?
Are you going to start a buoy house here?
One.
Like
the oh, we got buoy swings. they have been in the national magazine Cottage Life.
Yes, sir.
One of the questions they asked was, what do you do about safety, or do you have a problem with insurance?
Yes.
Insurance?
This is on our buoy swings.
Oh, on the buoy swings.
No, you just hop on and hope for the best.
Yeah, hold on tight.
The best buoy I ever brought back from Ross, I gave to a 2-year-old last weekend. They were down staying at our cabin from Sackville.
Yeah.
And she just loved these swings. That's all she wanted to do was play on the swings.
Yeah.
I had one that had the grandkids hadn't yet grabbed to hang someplace.
Yeah.
So it's gone to Sackville.
And nice. Did it come from Maine? It even had the telephone number of it, which we forgot to phone.
I was hiking in Bucktouche. I was hiking just by the highway there. There's by Pele Seguin.
Yeah.
It was kind of overlooking that, and there's a guy and his daughter were like walking. He was looking for this thing, and I had a zoom lens, and he's, can I borrow your camera? And he wanted to zoom in. Anyways, it was one of his buoys that was out in the bay, and he was looking for it. Somebody had stolen it or something and dumped it off further up. And was he ever looking for the buoy? And he was trying. And once he did it, he was texting somebody, like, come get it. And I was, oh my goodness. Serious business.
A buoy from one of the fishing boats that belonged to MG Fishery.
Yeah.
It's right beside the bank.
Yeah.
Ended up in Ireland.
Oh, I heard that was on the radio there.
Coast of Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went, not immediately, but they went over. They went to Ireland on a trip.
Oh, they did, yeah. Because he was saying, do you want me to send it back? And he's like, no, I'll come visit and get it sometime.
Right.
But yeah.
It.
Yeah.
It's the girl who owns Trapped, the deck.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the shop with all the
and there's a huge
clothes.
Chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize.
There's a chair that is made for a giant.
Yeah.
Just outside of MG Fishery.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the members of the family who has begun a clothing line called Traps. She and her husband went over and retrieved the buoy.
Yes.
Well, your kids haven't been in Trapped yet.
No. They want to go on a shopping day someday.
Well,
which means
they should go there.
Yeah. Traps.
Yeah.
I just went crazy the other day over there because that's where our grandkids always want to get stuff and our kids do and they can't be here.
Yeah.
So I just sent a rather large package off yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Trapped clothing. And then I thought, I don't know if it's going to make them feel better or not.
Yeah, really. Yeah. How many grandkids?
Seven.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different ages or?
Yeah, they go.
They are 18, 17, 16, 15, 14. They're all in the same family.
Oh, wow.
14, soon to be 11.
Yeah.
And 7.
Wow. It's a good range then.
Yep.
So have you guys hiked all the trails in the island?
I think we have.
Yeah.
Not on one fell swoop.
Yeah, no.
Section by section.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
There was a trail from Eel Lake. mm-hmm. which is off the Whistle Road in the north end.
Yeah, yeah, Eric was
talking about. And goes across to
Indian
Beach.
Yeah.
And we had to take that out of the book, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, because there had been some logging in there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it had just destroyed the section of trail close to Eel Lake.
Yeah.
So we kept getting reports of people getting totally lost.
And, oh, okay.
And it was very rutty.
Yeah.
But once the logging was finished and the trail sort of came back into decent shape.
And got cleaned out again, yeah.
Yeah, the fellow who owned most of the land that it was on, who was used to hike with us.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to us, he went out and remarked it and reopened the trail and said, oh, by the way, that trail's usable now.
Oh, no, that's good then.
So it's now in the new book.
Yeah.
We put it back in.
Yeah, he said it was really nice out that area. Eric did.
We were lucky. We met Francis and Eric on the Monday Morning Hikers.
Yeah.
And they just seemed ideal people to take over.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, and they've got some good, different ideas. And.
Yeah. No, it's nice to find the excited people about it. And you get the pockets of them every once in a while. And
Yeah.
It's the people that drive it, so. It's nice to see that up around Bathurst area. There's a pocket of them up there with the Nipisiguit Trail and stuff. I mean, that trail was built, I think, originally in 95, when I first saw it. And then it just completely went off the rails and, like, wasn't maintained. And you couldn't even find, you could just find the trailhead signs after a while. But now the group in the last 5 years have completely reclaimed it. And it's a 141-kilometer trail. It's a big trail.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And they've got the volunteers and the... But you need that driving organization behind it to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If we missed a year of maintenance, following year, in the spring, they would be,
almost
unhikeable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are so many trees that come down
with
the winter storms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fir along. I noticed there's a lot of fir out, but the spruce was almost further off the coast, which, down that area, but the fir aren't as hardy, usually. Some of the cool old birches and stuff up in that trail up to Western Head.
Yes.
It was really nice. Really interesting.
And there's been some, we haven't been up there this year, but as you get closer to Western Head, there was some clear cutting just off to the left.
Yep.
But I haven't, so we tried to make sure that it was marked clearly.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anybody who...
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. I know exactly what I mean this morning, because I remember I was kind of following Eric, and I wasn't really paying attention. I kind of looked up around when we came out into the clear-cut part, and it's well-marked across it. So you just have to look around and see kind of where the trail's going. And it's well-tracked, so having people on is a big part, too. If you have the traffic on it, usually keeps it...
The one place where there wasn't a trail was across above Dark Harbor... on the bluff above Dark Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trail used to go, you followed the coast, and then when it got to Dark Harbor, it went steeply down to Dark Harbor.
Okay. Wow.
And ended up behind the cabins that are there.
That's quite a cliff down through there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you basically walked along the...
ATV trail. Yeah.
And walked along it to the road, and then walked back...
Up the road.
Up the hill.
Yeah.
To rejoin the trail.
Yeah.
So when that land was purchased by Crab Lumber,
I was just going to say, he owns a lot of land over here from what I remember.
Yes.
My previous life's forestry, and I used to work at the mill in Nakwik for 16 years, so I know Donnie Crab from those.
Anyway, we thought, gee, it would be great to put a trail, and the Hadleys, we got them involved too.
Yeah.
Thought it would be great to put a trail that didn't have to go down that and come back up, that could just continue along the bluff. So we contacted Don and asked him if he would mind if we did that. And he said, no, you're welcome to do it. Don't cut down any big trees. And we said, we never do that.
Yeah. No, he's pretty good with stuff
and
like
so,
that.
And so we went out. The Hadleys were here at various times, basically bushwhacking the trail through.
Yeah.
So one day, Judy and I went to the section where the trail came down the hill on the north side, and Pete and Carmen Roberts, who were trail adopts at the time, started at the end where the where the parking lot is basically now.
Yeah.
They had a dog, and we had a whistle.
Yeah.
They basically started one end, and we went on the other,
oh, so
and
you met in the middle.
Worked our way towards each other, and lo and behold, we saw the dog.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, we had to make some variations in it, but that's basically scientific approach we use.
Whistles work.
And it's a nice trail across there. But that stretch is the one new section of the Red Trail from lighthouse to lighthouse.
Oh, okay.
But that's now probably 15 years ago we're talking about.
Yeah. We're in one of the cabins at the Anchorage, that are just a tarp.
Oh, yeah.
It's loud in there when you get the rain on the tarp.
Yeah, are you down by the water?
No, it's up in behind the main office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I've never really taken a look at that. We've been up there, I guess, but I haven't really looked at it. But there used to be cabins all through the woods there when it was a lodge.
Oh, okay.
Years ago.
Yeah.
A friend of ours who has since died quite a while ago, but was the niece of the woman who owned the Anchorage, which was a sort of a lodge.
Yeah.
And she said,
That's when the main building was.
Yeah, the main building was the lodge part. And she said she was a waitress. And if you're a waitress, you carry the meals to the cabins in the woods all over the
place. Yeah. Well, there's only two little ones out there now. So the kids just can't get over the fact that we don't have electricity. They just can't. They can't get their head wrapped around that.
And how do you plug in your phone?
Oh, the car was running for way too long last night, and every outlet in the car was plugged in with a phone. And it's probably going right now.
We're in a good spot here. We don't go very far to get lots of exercise.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. How far is it to the end of the road here? Not very far, is it?
About a little over a kilometer.
Yeah. Not too bad, then.
Oh, no. It's a nice walk down to the boardwalk and around.
Yeah.
Oh, did you tell James about the Hudson Trail?
You can go ahead.
Well, if you walk out at the end of the road, the boardwalk goes off.
Oh, is that the new trail?
And there's this trail called Hudson Trail.
Yeah, I think I saw that online.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's a new trail, but it really is an old trail.
Yeah.
That when we first came, it was there. And then got a little more overgrown all the time and then fell into disuse.
Yeah.
And the fellow who looks after it, his name is Gene Hudson, he's in his early 80s, Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
Got to be doing something. And he was going out and fiddling, doing various things on the trail. We said to him, why don't you become our trail adopter? Well, that's good. So he did. Well, he lives with his daughter-in-law, son-in-law and daughter, just down the way here.
Yeah.
And he happened to, Morton, his the son-in-law, happened to mention to him that there used to be this other trail.
Yeah.
And Gene said, where? Oh, right, just across the road from the parking lot.
Yeah.
Well, Gene went down and checked it out. I mean, it was not usable at that time.
Yeah, you could still find it.
But he went down with a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And Morton said he'd give him a hand because it was full of
alders.
Alders
down there. Yeah.
And they cleaned it out.
Yeah.
And they were so impressed in the campground that they named the trail after.
Oh, it is. So where is it? Is it? It's off
the end
on
of the road.
On the other side.
Just on the other side.
Where does it go to?
Takes you down to Red Point.
It just goes down to the
down probably near the cliff.
A few hundred meters long.
There's a camp there or something.
No.
Or is that further down?
It ends up at a park.
Maybe it's a house I'm thinking of.
There's a house
at Red Point.
Yeah, there's a house right above Red Point.
But yeah.
This trail just goes around a little pond and back, and comes out at the parking lot that's
at
the end of the road.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
It was really neat.
I'll have to go check that out. Maybe that'll be one of my early morning outings. I usually get up way earlier than everybody else.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice walk.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. No, I saw it online just that it was a new trail, and there was kind of... I didn't read too detailed on it, but I knew it was down that area.
You probably put that on it.
Yeah, maybe. That's funny. I probably shouldn't let you get back to the morning. I guess the afternoon now, isn't it?
It's great that you came.
Yeah, no, and thanks for having me, for sure.
Not quite the afternoon, but we're getting there.
It's getting there, eh? Yeah.
I'd like to thank Bob and Judy Stone for providing me with the interview and giving me lots of information and just generally having a discussion about the trails around Grand Manan. We've always loved the trails on Grand Manan. It's a place in New Brunswick that's made for hiking. There's a few of them around, but Grand Manan is top of our list for places to recommend for hiking. A little bit difficult to get to with the ferry, but in my mind, the ferry is half the adventure. I love going across on the ferry and watching off the side and seeing if you can see any birds or whales or porpoises or all kinds of stuff that you can see from the ferry itself. It would mean the world to me if you could leave a recommendation or a rating for the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Helps other people find the podcast and helps give me inspiration to keep going with it and create better and more interesting content. Until next time, hope to see you on the trail.